This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
So, you know, another all-nighter for me, and it was me, myself. I was not alone. I was in there with, in the mixing studio with Nick Elodian. Okay. And we were planning secret messages for children in the cartoons. Do you know about this, Hayes?
I've heard about this, yeah. Things about having kids, like, buy oil. Like, having them go buy gas.
But all positive stuff. All positive stuff for the economy. Okay. Like, go buy gas. You know? Like, use more gas. I mean, it was mostly gas-based.
It is what I was saying. The same thing as that.
It's exactly what you're saying.
Having to buy gasoline. Yeah.
Okay. You're saying it like it's the same like as if I disagreed with you. I'm just wondering why you did that.
No, you just said but, and then you sort of repeated back the same thing.
But did you notice that you did that? That you acted like I disagreed with you?
No, you didn't. It's because of the way you were saying it.
Yeah.
Because of the way you were saying it. No, that's interesting. It's an interesting story.
I thought it was too, but you know, it doesn't even matter. We'll talk about it later. We have obviously to do the show.
Welcome to Hollywood Handbook, an insider's guide to kicking butt and dropping names in the red carpet lineback hallways of this industry we call showbiz.
Mm-hmm.
Special guest, important guest today to us professionally, having been on this show before, and personally because of the role that he has played in our family's lives. In one case, Tim Heidecker is back on the show. Tim, hello, thank you so much for being here. Welcome. And what's up?
Thank you for having me. What's up? I don't know.
And Tim, and what up to you from me and from my family, and of course from my son.
Yeah, the we were just speaking the last time I was on, the first time I was on.
Regretfully, the only time.
In the delivery room. You were in the delivery room.
And my wife was there, and we were having the baby, and you are, in many ways, the first man in my baby's life. You're the sort of the first person that he met, and the influence has been tremendous. And so, you know, I've been showing him your stuff. He's doing all the, you know, the whole cycle. We started... Tom Goes to the Mayor, and then we went through, you know, the entire catalog.
Tom Goes to the Mayor.
You know, and we did, we were doing Beef House, and we're getting all of it in there. And he is, he doesn't always connect to it, but when he does, it's like the light goes on in his eyes, you know. You have kids. I mean, you know how that feels.
It's very colorful, and there's a lot of music, and there's a lot of, it's quick moving. And so for infants, it can be pretty effective.
Mm-hmm. And it's sort of messed up, some of it as well.
It's totally messed up. That's what we shoot for. I love messed up comedy.
Sick in the head.
Yeah.
No, but that's
I was
good.
Talking to,
Twisted.
To Crawford, this baby, about Mr. America.
You were talking to the baby about the baby's name is Crawford?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is he named after Keith Crawford? He's the one of the
William Street from Adult Swim? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. No, it just picked a name out of the credits from one of your projects and just
he's usually
went
at the
with
end.
That.
Usually at the end, executive in charge of production or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool.
Crawford was saying he didn't know if the lady in it was real. Like that she's real, but if she was like faking it or what.
Mm. Yeah.
The 1 year old was wondering that?
Yeah.
Well, one and a half, but yeah, regardless.
And not that, like, it's not a criticism necessarily, but to him it was.
No, that wasn't one of his criticisms.
Yeah.
That wasn't one
of the issues that he had.
He had issues with Mr. America?
Yeah. I mean, look, nothing's perfect. Everybody, you know, the audience brings their own experience to it. And so, like, yeah, I mean,
Well, for Crawford, she was an actor. Yeah, she was cast to play that person. And she was, in on the...
Okay, that's what he said.
She knew what was going on.
That's what he said.
We have... So, there's this. There's, like, the personal stuff. But there's also, like... really, really big, like, business stuff happening right now.
Yes.
Huge.
You, Tim, have
big moves.
Stand up. You have the special out.
The special is out.
It's out. It's on YouTube.
What is that like, releasing something like that? It's out there now. Is it like, and now it's like kind of not yours anymore, and you're watching other people have their experiences with it? Like, what is that? And
I mean, the honest truth is we did that special like a few years ago. A couple years ago. And it is a meta comedy special. You know, it is not, it is a character who is bombing the whole night. And it's
but the
not,
material doesn't feel dated.
Not really.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It kind of got stronger as it sat. It kind of fermented, which is a good comedy, a good, you know, Hollywood lesson is, you know, pick your moments if you can. But it feels like when I did it, we might, the insiders like you and I, we might have a sense, sort of a spidey sense, if you will, about there being Spider-Man. Sort of oversaturation of comedy in the world right now.
Yeah.
Especially in the stand-up format.
Yeah.
But yeah. That feels like your average Joe can relate to that.
Well, Crawford was saying something interesting about it when I did discuss the special with him, which is what actually one of his favorite things that you've done.
Wow.
He was talking about how stand-ups are sort of the last true warriors. And they're just up there with their mic, which is their sword. And that in a country that has become overrun with kind of soy boy,
You know, yes.
That you are something of an Achilles.
I like consider him a truth teller.
Thank you.
Your son and me. My character, my many characters. I forget who I am half the time anyways.
The smartness of this, we do a similar thing where we do a show and like it bombs and we're like, oh, first of all, that was a long time ago. We always say. When it comes out, we're like, oh, that was like forever. I forgot about that.
We go, oh, we're way better since then.
Right. Even if it was actually very recent, because I noticed a lot of people in the audience are wearing masks. So not many of them.
Nobody's wearing masks in 2018.
Well,
you
not many,
wearing any masks.
Not many, yeah. But definitely like not as many as you would hope, but definitely some. Mm-hmm. And then we say like, oh, first of all, it was a character. It was on purpose. And it, and it was so long ago. I don't even remember.
Yeah. I don't have a lot to do with it, frankly. Like, I kind of showed up. They were filming it for whatever reason, and then it came out. So it was just one of many things I do. You know, people love it, whatever.
It's by accident. Yeah, people freak out for it. That's great. If they don't, it's like, you didn't see it either, so who cares?
But we do want to talk about these projects. Space Force coming out very soon.
Mm-hmm. Space Force on the horizon.
Well,
it's
a space. Yeah, I mean, let's just be clear here. It's a full rebrand of Space Force.
Mark Naird? Mark Naird is still the general in charge. No.
No, we kind of like. It's really complicated, but we, me and Greg Daniels and Steve Carell, flipped at the reaction when it came out on Netflix. We flipped, really upset, because we were psyched about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
naturally.
You know, if you saw the original Space Force, I'm not really there. I'm not really in it. And that,
I was going to ask. Yeah.
Was an issue. And so one of the strategies we had after it kind of came and bombed, frankly, it was like a really disappointing thing. Mm-hmm.
It was made a long time ago.
Let's call Netflix. We got Netflix on the phone. We said, can we get the full mulligan? We want to just wipe it, start fresh. Let's get everybody in. Mm-hmm. Everybody.
Just let us do it again, please.
Everybody came in to write on the second pass.
Yeah.
Everybody.
So that was the difference. Most of the people were not there before.
Was that the issue?
Colin Jost came in and wrote, like, Colin and Michael, like the two co-head writers on SNL, both came in and did a full page one rewrite of basically the whole show.
No BS. So Colin Jost is in there actually pitching some of his famous Colin Jost.
They did such a great cleanup job on it. And so what ended up happening was it got so radically changed. We changed the title and we got John in, we got Fred in, and a couple other people, and it's just so much cleaner, which I love about that.
Is John Ralphio still going to be a part of it, though? I mean, I remember being concerned when I didn't see him on the poster.
We really had to rethink the entire thing, like ground from the ground up. Like it was like a total.
That's what Space Force should have been called, from the ground up.
From the ground up, yeah. It's pretty smart.
That's
what they did. It's now Moonbase. And what's funny is Netflix now, you know, they couldn't actually air the redo, the mulligan, so Showtime came in and now they're doing it. But it was it's really
copyright
awesome.
Copyright stuff that was already
that
gets all, like, in the original deal, I know there was sort of built in the potential for this to happen. So there was this understanding, like, if we're going to get all these people together, let's make sure that we'll have that out, that opportunity to redo, to do a mulligan if the audience isn't really thrilled with it. So luckily, I think a lot of projects are doing that now. They're building in from the ground that they're saying, like, if this comes out, like if the new James Bond movie comes out or something, and it's not a success, that there is that built in, you know, it's budgeted now. It's budgeted.
Yeah.
For you to go like strip this down to the copper wire, you know, and redo
sell
it.
Sell some of it. Sell some of the parts.
Down to the studs in the case of you and Fred and John.
Yeah. Because, you know, Space Force will, like, the original version, that's still playing, like, internationally. That's still going to be.
Yes,
that's,
and so you've recouped. You recouped.
That's fine internationally, you know. Like, it's fine.
No, with
for
this,
that.
But these reboots are in the black before they roll camera. The way they frame.
Yeah, it's all pre-sold. It's all pre-sold. So we're happy with it. It's still, like, very, you know, it's tough. It's still, like, there's an original sin, I guess, in there, in the original Space Force, that you just are not going to be able to cleanse for this new launch. Again, great pun, but it's gonna come and go, like everything, like the stand-up special, like my music, like Mr. America, you know, it will come and go.
Well,
so Mr. America is going to come back, like keep coming back, and
no, it's just, it's gone, it's it oh, came gone. And
I
went.
See
it came
I
and
see.
Went yeah,
okay.
yeah yeah
oh what you're saying yes is that it's gone.
So we got bought since you were last
year. By who?
By the radio.
The radio actually came in.
Yeah. The car. The radio in the car.
WMARON.
So that is so interesting. WMARON is, I guess, now a subsidiary.
Yes.
That's the M now in Sirius XM.
Cool.
Yeah, it stands for extra.
They got their own shingle.
Extra Marin. But SiriusXM, of course, is like our big parent company, and they are constantly looking for new programming to put on this car radio. And even
all
finding
these numbers, Tim, if, I mean,
even
if you
finding
just spin
new
it around,
numbers,
yes,
they're finding these new numbers, and they're like, oh, what do we do with this one? They just found 40 is on there in the car radio.
Right.
Yeah. And they've got it. The keyboard has these emoji symbols, too, that they're thinking maybe they do some channels with these.
What's the channel? What channel is it? Just the Hollywood Handbook on channel 40?
No, this is a network.
What's the network? WMARON? Is that what the network is?
No, this is actually, this is one that we are, and they actually came to us and they said, there's the idea, you do whatever you like, you do it with this. Tim XM.
Nice.
Tim XM.
Mm-hmm.
Tim XM, how's that grab you?
Is that Tim related to me?
Could be.
Okay.
Obviously, the big fish that we're after here is Tim Gunn, who has expressed some interest. Can we get two Tims? And he said he won't do it unless we have another Tim.
Great.
And so we did an episode with Tim Simons pretty recently that was sort of an audition for this. Went horribly.
Who's this?
He's very Tim Simons.
Don't know him.
Yeah, he's like a tall guy. He's like a golf guy. He was on Beep, the HBO mm-hmm. president jokes.
Oh, Beep?
Yeah.
Okay.
Where they're cussing. They're saying fuck stick.
There, I know what you're talking about.
They're going,
yeah,
you
yeah.
armadillo fuck. And right. you're like, what right. the? That's not a curse I've heard.
I know. They're very creative.
He lied constantly through the entire show. Was not dressed appropriately at all. Was not a good fit for this project.
Okay. Well, we might use him still, but the guy doesn't know his goddamn dick from a breadstick, Tim.
What about Tim Daly?
And now we're talking wings, and now we're a little bit more in my area of expertise. Right, right. So, yeah. Yes, Tim Daly is interested. So it's weird. He's interested in doing it, but only as his character from The Sopranos who got the shit beat out of him.
Uh-huh.
Sure. Which I think is like, it's a strong choice, but to me, it doesn't have a lot of legs, and Tim Gunn's not going to like it.
He abhors violence.
And that's not going to make it work, right?
No. It's maybe a weird, it's a weird place for him to be in, to be insistent on that. I mean, he wouldn't have the rights to that anyways. He'd have to go to Chase.
Well, that's another thing. Legally, we're going to end up in a pretty big bind. Mm-hmm.
I can only imagine that David Chase made a lot of money on The Sopranos, but enough to start a bank?
Isn't that crazy? And it just goes to show that investments and wealth are unrelated to actual just earning power.
Right.
And he must have immediately put every check in the bank, and that it eventually got so big that it became a
bank. He's like, listen, I can lend you money. I'll lend you money and I'll take a little piece. Like just a, kind of like maybe a lesson he learned from the mob. You know, money loan sharking essentially is what a bank is.
Yeah, that,
they're basically
it?
Saying
just legal
like,
loan sharking. There's yeah. the mob right there.
But I'll keep your money too. That's one of the aspects of banks is, you know, I'll hold on to your money. It's safe with me. And that's mm-hmm. what David Chase has shown he's very adept at. That's why he really hasn't had a lot of success after The Sopranos, because all that energy, time, and creativity and enterprise went into Chase Bank.
The recipe. This is the Chase investment recipe. I did a little seminar on this. It goes, is 10% luck.
Right.
20% skill. 15% concentrated power of will. 5% pleasure.
Wow.
50% pain.
Wow.
And 100% reason to remember the name. And the name in this case is Toby Soprano.
Toby Soprano. That's what do you sound like Yogi Berra with the percentages. They're all over the place, but I love it. It's creative and it's fun with numbers.
It does actually add up. I'm pretty sure it adds up exactly to 100%.
200%, yeah.
That's why you have to admit that we do remember this name, this guy.
Yeah.
Who is such a like this character. Come on.
He's like the ultimate hero in TV, or you could even call anti-hero.
You could say it, yeah, because for somebody who is the hero, not all of his actions are that heroic.
No, he's complicated, and he almost like paves the way for other characters like, Ed Wood, and
yeah,
Bryan Cranston's show. What's the Bryan Cranston show?
It's Bronchi Bad. It's actually a really cool show. And for people who haven't checked this, I love turning people on to this stuff. There used to be a show called Get Up on This. I don't know.
Better Call Paul. Better Call Paul, the show with David Cross.
Mm-hmm. That one's cool. It's a little like, it doesn't have as much like shooting as the other one. So I don't know if people will want to watch it.
I tried. I fell asleep.
But that one could be sick as hell. I'm trying to remember because there is other shows. Oh, well, I mean, would you even say it's an inspiration a little bit for some of your stuff?
What?
Like Thicker.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I watch this stuff. I mean, I simp for Tim. I'm a timp.
Okay.
I'm a timp. Okay. I'm a timp simp. You know what I mean? I'll say it. I'll name your damn show, you know, when you're right in front of you.
Simps for Timps. Simps for Timps.
The Timpsons.
I draw a lot of inspiration from all kinds of shows. We love the format of, you know, the sitcom format, the time it, and sort of the production schedule for them. You know, we sort of studied more, not necessarily the content, the writing, just sort of how you build a schedule, how you develop the prep period, and how
the
you,
calendar, right?
Yeah, I mean, and how you like kind of
appealing thing.
How you can overlap post with production.
Like, well, and are you blocking?
If you're shooting, if you're shooting day one, start getting that footage over to your post soup and let him
get the editor
orging.
Yeah.
You know, let him get sort of like a timeline going, org the footage.
We're touching on something I do like to remind everyone of, because you talk about like there's post and there's this side of it and there's the calendar and there's the line producer, and people go, oh, where is it? What's the hierarchy of this? An easy way to remember: nobody outranks health and safety.
Not these days, no. I mean,
nobody outranks health and safety. So people might go, oh, it's Tim's show, he's the boss. No, actually, he works for health and safety.
Now in this new COVID age that we'll, you know, hopefully be living with for a long time to come, because it sets a standard. And well, listen, I hope COVID
is clear. Yeah.
Yeah. I hope COVID's, you know, we have the vaccine and people get back to, you know, that people don't get infected with the COVID. But I hope that the protocols and the policies that this pandemic have ingrained in us remain a part of the process.
Nice to have it as a mighty cudgel to wield so that you could infect someone with it if you want.
Well, that, but also just the regiment of, you know, separating the different departments so that you can't, like, I can't be spoken to in the in the makeup chair, the grips or PA, like nobody can really communicate or be around
each other. No one can be anywhere
other.
Near you. They can't even come in to
and
say
if they
good
try,
job.
You can be like, what? The thing? The
yeah,
mask?
Yeah.
What
and
is
so
it?
I think going yeah. forward, let's just hope that just becomes industry standard, that all the below the line, whatever they are, you want to call them sound guys or just the grunts, are heavily masked and wear, you know, incredible coverage so that they can't infect anybody. Any
don't
of the,
have to
above
see
the
them.
Talent.
Never yeah. see them, and if they approach you, it's forbidden, and they actually are in trouble.
And then you won't see any more of these outbreaks or pandemics. It'll right. be sort of nip it in the bud.
I do hope it continues forever. I appreciate that it's a barrier to entry for new talent, which for me is huge.
Yes.
I felt some of these guys sort of nipping at my heels, because I'm not going to do something new.
No, but now we need experience here. You can't just have someone be like wandering. It's very dangerous in this
right.
new
yeah,
situation.
The gate is closed. It's like the gate is
yep.
closed, and
ladders
we're
up.
Not.
Yep.
There's no real reason to open it up. I mean, obviously, we're going to have to kind of draft in younger talent. Like, you know, if we're looking into casting a family sitcom, you're going to want like an 8-year-old, a 10-year-old.
Just grab the kids.
And yeah, I mean, it would be great if they come from the system. So if you have somebody that's already in development at Paramount or wherever.
And keep the money where it is a little bit. You know what I mean?
A little bit,
like
yeah.
It's already coming to your house.
Yeah, it's nepotism in a good way, and in a positive way that sort of creates a closed loop that, frankly, you know, we're going to need to have in place for a long time to come, hopefully.
Well, we need it all, Tim, for this. This is 24-hour Tim.
Well, we have the content. I mean, if you don't mind just having the audio from some of this stuff, I think the content's
there.
That's
all we can do. So it's a car radio. And so it is all sound. There is no visual component at all. Of course, you got the little like digital screen. And so you've got like pixels that are being rearranged to like suggest one thing or...
Sure.
another but you know, like,
could simulate sex with them.
Yeah, what would like yeah, a sure, what would a programming like a block of programming look like in your head?
Well, I think we would do 1 hour of just jokes, just cut up from different projects,
right?
And so you would say, we can get this now, honestly, we probably
just
should.
The punchlines. Yeah,
yeah, just like, hey everybody, it's Tim XM. And these are some of my favorite ass jokes. Okay. And then you like just set it off that way.
Hey everybody, it's Tim Heidecker here, and these are some of my favorite ass jokes. Take it away, Tim. Something like that.
You are Tim XM. So this is like part of it too, is that you are the station itself as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're in the car, you're in the console.
I am Tim. This is Tim XM. All Tim, all night, all day. Take it away, Tim. Something like that.
Great. And we can put in the favorite ass jokes part into that.
We'll drop that in because we have that clean from earlier.
Coming up, couple of tracks from my 2015 album, Urinal Street Station by the Yellow River Boys. Take it away, Tim.
That's great. And then just one that's for stuff that like didn't work as well. Like stuff that like you are just like less proud of potentially because we are using all of it. And so just like a
just so
like,
much time.
Right. For the next hour, here are some tweets from 2014. Hey everybody, it's Tim XM. Sorry, take two. Hey everybody, it's Tim XM. Coming up at the 8 o'clock hour, some tweets from 2014. Take it away, Tim.
That's great because we are going to be reading all the posts.
Yeah, and we have so much of you throwing to yourself. Can we have some of you accepting the throw from yourself? Like, hey, okay, thanks, okay. Tim.
Hey, thanks, Tim. Coming up. Hey, thanks, Tim. Here is some audio from my small role in the read. Let me take that again. Thanks, Tim. All right, coming up, we got some of the audio from my classic scene with Nick Kroll in the National Lampoon's Vacation reboot starring Ed Helms.
That's really good. We are going to do big, big blocks of SNL monologues.
Okay.
If you could just like rattle off a few favorites, any that like stick out.
I've never done SNL. You're saying of other people's?
Yeah, in a perfect world, you would be doing some classic SNL monologues by some other people.
I don't have any of those memorized. I don't know why you would think I did. I don't memorize monologues from SNL.
Okay,
you can shoot me over one if you want.
Yeah, I mean, Christopher Walken did a Christmas episode where he sang "Walking in a Winter Wonderland." It's kind of funny. His last name's Walken. You could really hit that.
All right.
Kevin, can you just like maybe pull one? We can do that later. Maybe pull one of those up. You have, if you get a Joseph Gordon-Levitt one, that would be great.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt hosting SNL monologue.
Approaching the Five Timers Club, I think. And honestly, if he did get in there, that could be a really funny one.
Really? Oh, you're talking about Joseph Gordon-Levitt has done SNL five times?
I think he's approaching the Five Timers Club.
He's zeroed in on the Five Timers Club, and he's headed there.
Do you think he'll hit there? He'll hit it soon? What do you think? His sights?
If Don John's any indication, this guy doesn't
Don John?
Too easy. You see Don John?
Don John.
Don John?
Directorial debut. Don
John? First one he directed.
I didn't get the porn one, where he's addicted to porn?
You're jacking off.
Yes, that is jacking off.
I skipped that one. I didn't watch that one.
Haven't seen it yet?
Hmm. No. I wasn't nuts about that movie he did, Garden State. So I felt like nothing about, you know, as a director made me want to go see another one.
But the music, Tim.
The music was great.
I mean,
great.
Okay, the movie. Sure, the movie. But Tim, the music.
The music was great.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'd be happy to do one. I can record it, send it over at some other point. But I don't know. Why do you think people would want to hear me doing SNL monologues on my radio station? That seems a little weird.
Well, the monologue's the best part. It's comedy. You're going to run out of stuff.
And the show, it's you. Like, who else would do it is what's confusing to me. The whole network is named after your network. You want someone else doing SNL monologues? I don't.
I'm like taking stuff off your plate and you're like, put it back on.
I don't want to. Yeah, I'll try it. You know, whatever. What about doing like a William Shatner from he was on there a couple times, did a funny couple of funny appearances from him. I could try that. It's going
Denny
back
Crane?
A little bit.
Is that Denny Crane?
William Shatner.
Boston Legal's Denny Crane.
Right. Yeah, there. That's right. And Kirk. Dana Carvey doing a Khan in on SNL. He goes, Kirk. He loves it.
What
Phil
else,
Hart,
Sean?
Phil
we
Hartman,
gotta get
Phil Hartman
I'm
doing
to Sean
Bones.
One second.
Phil, excuse me,
I'm just
Phil
to
Hartman.
Sean for one second.
Phil Hartman doing Bones. Kevin Nealon doing Spock. They had it all figured out.
That was my era, you know, Kevin Nealon as Spock. That's sort of the touchstone for me.
So funny. He'd go, Captain, this is highly illogical. And then Hartman comes in with, damn it, Jim. I'm a doctor, not a... Oh, actually, it was a guy choking on... The premise was that Star Trek was now a restaurant. It was a seafood restaurant in space, a revolving restaurant.
No.
And there was a guy who was eating some food, and he started choking. And Shatner's playing Kirk, and he says, Bones, help this man. He goes, damn it, Jim, I'm a doctor, not a... Oh, and then he realizes, oh, this
right. is the one time they were actually asking for a doctor.
And he's trying to do the Heimlich. Heimlich's not working. Nealon comes in as Spock, gives him the thing on the back of the neck, the Vulcan death grip. Mm. That's what gets the food out. Mm-hmm. Now, who played the choking guy? Who played the choking guy in the sketch? Anybody know? Kevin Meaney.
Come on.
That's a surprise to me. Yeah.
Kevin Meaney, look it up.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt. I thought that was his first
appearance. No, this is 89. It could have, you know, who would it? Lovett comes in with Carvey. Carvey's playing Khan from Star Trek II with the big blonde hair and the chest. But John Lovett is the health inspector. So Khan has gotten the health inspector to try to close down Kirk's restaurant. It's a classic sketch.
And we hear this now in like 2020, and we're like, okay, Star Trek has a seafood restaurant. I've seen that 100 million times.
Right.
You judge it by when it was what people saw it at the time. It's like, yeah, it's not scary now when a freaking train is on screen coming toward you.
Right.
At the time, people had not seen that before.
No, it's right. It's like, yes, it's a cliche because someone did it so well.
Here's how innovative the sketch was. You've got Carvey, because this is live, right? SNL's live.
There's no net. And of course, it's edited for rerun. Probably like Comedy Central,
you've got Carvey backstage doing Scotty on just the audio, just through the, you know, it's a Scotty. We need more tartar sauce. I've given it all I can, Captain. I can't get any more. He's off camera. And you're thinking, oh, too bad we don't get to see Scotty. But why don't we get to see Scotty? Because Carvey comes in as Khan.
Boom. And he's doing double duty. Who pulled him aside before?
Dana, do you think we could get you to do two characters in this one?
Whatever you need, Lorne.
Dana, you're the only cat that's got the juice to pull off double duty on this damn thing.
It was a different time. This was how Lorne talked.
He used to talk like that, yeah.
Of course, no African-Americans anywhere near that cast, so they have Victoria Jackson doing the female Uhuru part. Mm-hmm. Not in blackface, thank God, but, you know.
It's a white-ass cast. Yeah.
Nora Dunn is
I think Cleghorn was sick that week.
Who? Cleghorn? No, this is pre Cleghorn.
That's what Lorne said.
This is pre Cleghorn. She wasn't even a featured guest.
Mm. Featuring Ellen Cleghorn.
Hollywood Handbook.
Hey, gang. Looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the mom in your life? Well, Aura Frames are beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. You can find the hottest, most beautiful pictures of your mom for Aura's annual MILG event. MILG, that's Mom I'd Like to Gift. This Mother's Day, let your mom know you'd love to gift her. She's a MILG. Tell her that. From grandmothers to new mothers to aunts, even the friends in your life, they all can be MILGs. They're moms, and you'd like to gift them. So go ahead and find the most gorgeous pictures of your MILG, upload it to an Aura frame, give it to her, and you will be awarding her with the best digital photo frame as named by Wirecutter. Selected as one of Oprah's favorite things? Okay, That's big Milg energy. Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to Milgs of all ages. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. That's right. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's A-U-R-A, Frames.com. Use code THEBOYS at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Celebrate your Milg!
Hey, did you guys know nearly 75% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about? Before I started using Rocket Money, I thought I had about like maybe 3-4 subscriptions. I couldn't believe it when they showed me I was paying for 5 million subscriptions every month. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, just never ending. I had subscribed with the police for a permit to smoke trees. This was many years ago. I mean, like, I barely used it. I haven't smoked trees in like in many, many years. And they make it so hard to cancel. You have to go to the police station. They're like, you sure? Sure would be nice to like smoke down a big ass tree right now. And like, they just make it seem more appealing than it actually is. Thanks to Rocket Money, I'm no longer wasting money on that subscription. Any other, they went down to the police station for me. They talked to the chief. Like, they make it so easy. They find and cancel your unwanted subscriptions. They monitor your spending, help you lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. You have full control over your subscriptions, a clear view of your expenses. They're all in one place. Over 5 million users. They've saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions because, yeah, I mean, each one, just like do the math. I had 5 million each would cost $100. Saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/theboys. That's rocketmoney.com/theboys. rocketmoney.com/theboys.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hollywood Handbook.
John, is there anything else we wanted to get?
Yeah, we did just want to get, I mean, there's a segment we're going to do that we could maybe, this could be sort of a pilot for it, where it's just, it'll be a year-round segment that we'll do basically every day where we talk edgy Halloween costume ideas.
Oh, mm-hmm. God, yeah.
And we just get in there, and Tim, you get in there, and you get raw as hell, and you could go like, hey, kids, why don't you be the fly on Mike Pence's head?
That's hilarious.
And then pause, because in the car, it's going to be laughs.
Are people doing that, really? With the fly in the head? That is hilarious.
Dude, yes. Yeah. Ghost of RBG, okay? Big rest in power chain on. Okay. Is this a Halloween costume, right?
Right.
Combining her with like stuff from black culture, you know?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. That's,
ah,
like,
that's smart.
The big chain, and like she's right. Doing... throwing gang signs and stuff like that.
You
like,
know what I mean? The notorious.
The yes. So you're the notorious RBG. Yeah, exactly.
Yes, the ghost of.
The
yes.
Notorious yeah. RBG. Yeah. What about one of the who are some of the famous sort of ghouls from the Hubie Halloween movie, the Sandler film? Remember those like mm-hmm. scary shit, man.
It's fucked up. Yeah, some of that shit was fucked up. Yeah, I was actually got sick watching it.
The last 30 minutes of the movie are fucking, it's like Hereditary. It's awful. Mm-hmm. Scary, mm-hmm. scary shit. Like, no, fucked up.
I had, like, covert had been saying to me.
I don't know how many people watched past the first half hour, but if you get past the first half hour, it's fucked up.
Well, first half hour draws you in. It goes, hey, yeah. Let's have some fun. You know,
I know a lot of people that, like, watch the first half hour. They're like, get it. It's going long. I'm a little, like, you know, it's a little troubling, the character. Like, I'm not sure if I'm supposed to laugh at this character or I feel bad. You know, it feels exploitive. But I know a lot of people that turned it off because they just felt uncomfortable about the portrayal of somebody that was developmentally disabled.
Sure. Just go watch Waterboy.
But if you stick with it, the last 20, 30 minutes of that movie are seriously some of the scariest shit I've ever seen.
This was, I know a lot of people talked to Alan Covert about this. And he was the one saying, it's not scary. It's not, it's like for kids. It's not a big deal.
Dude, some, like, they use real corpses, real, like, cadavers.
They
in the
use
last,
actual
like,
bones and blood. And
Yeah.
Real dead bodies.
Like, real cadavers were fucking, I don't want to give it away, but they're, like, fucking torn apart.
Yeah. Not just the cadavers, because there was a person who was murdered on screen. I mean, they were,
I know.
They were actually, like, terminally ill.
Yeah.
So it was somebody, it was
they
sort
won
of like
some kind of contest, like, or whatever.
It was a Kevorkian like, type that where it was like yeah. they want, it was assisted suicide, but in the movie, their portrayal is they're acting like, no, I don't want this to happen. I don't want
so
you to put those swords in.
Fucking gross. It was so gross.
Peter Dante gets sliced in half vertically.
Yeah. It was like, ugh, all the entrails coming out and like the characters like Steve Buscemi, like I can't believe, I mean, they must have done some kind of, they must have swapped out because he's like eating the fucking intestines and
they didn't swap
smearing.
Him out. They did not swap him out.
No, it's really, no, they didn't swap him. And it's
no, that's it's not, gross. No. There's no way Steve Buscemi ate the fucking entrails from that corpse.
I saw the inside look. I actually did watch the inside look. And they were like, let's show how we got this shot. But all it is, like, he is in front of a green screen.
Yeah. But with the actual cadaver?
But yeah, everything else, the cadaver is real and all like the entrails are real. But they did kind of like a day for night thing.
Right. I had a general at Happy Madison where they actually ate a human kidney in front of me.
I can't believe that that's just okay. Like, why aren't the QAnon people protesting about that? Because that's truly sick.
But it's art, it's
yeah.
Magic,
I mean, I agree, but
it's renegade film.
It's not my kind. Like, I don't like horror movies, but to see Steve Buscemi, who I like as an actor, like, I'm really shocked. And there was, it looked like there was. I mean, because I guess there's when people die, they still have shit inside their body, you know.
Yeah, no, you don't.
And
yeah, it's
he's
it's
like
wherever
smearing because it's like there's a lot of blood obviously, but there's also like fucking
there's more
clearly
than
no
expect.
It's gross to talk about, but it's what you see on screen and we should discuss, like, yeah,
it's like undigested and it's like it's so long, like everybody that's in the June Squibb is doing it too. She's stuffing fucking like body parts up her vagina.
And her name is not June Squibb in the film, but she does say, hand me my June bib.
Yeah.
I'm about to chow down on some of this human feces. And you're going, wait a minute. This was a kid's movie 40 minutes ago.
I know. It's like a Gigi Allen situation going on at the end of that movie. And it's awful.
June Squibb crawled inside Swartzen's stomach and ate her way north out the top of his head. And they didn't use that. That's only in the inside look.
And nobody in the comments, which is really sick. And I know it's been a hard year. It's like it's a pandemic and the election. But nobody in the comedy community is coming out to say anything about Nick Swartzen and the fact that he's dead. And that his body was used as like a prop to be killed in this movie. He gets sort of like used by the Happy Madison gang in various ways. And it's sort of whatever. I was happy for him. But you'd think the comedy community would have come out and said something, anything about Nick Swartzen. And like,
but it's for like a blooper reel, right? Like it's
it's not even
you know,
in the movie.
Basically in the post credits.
It's not even in the fucking movie.
There's a quick thing where Nick Swartzen opens his mouth and it looks like he has a second set of teeth behind his teeth. And then you realize, oh no, that's June Squibb's teeth. And then she bursts out of his head.
Yeah. She won't. I mean, it's a testament. Like I would love to hear from Netflix when people turn that movie off, because it has to be like high percentage of people that turn it off after 30 minutes because
they
like,
have
I know
those
what,
numbers.
I know what this is. This is another Adam Sandler thing. I get it. I'm not really in the mood for this kind of humor anymore. But shit, like if people knew what's at the end of that movie, they would be out of it. Would be over. And that, I mean, I would think that the FBI would be interested in that too, because there's got to be some laws being broken.
You would
anyways.
Think, but they're they're busy with other shit, I guess.
Sure,
right?
Russia hoax and whatever.
Yeah,
fucking. Yeah.
Joe Biden's
Space
emails.
Space Force shit, right? No offense.
No.
He's got that six movie deal or whatever, and so like I assume like
there's no, they have coming. To let him keep making them, and it's going to get sicker and sicker because now they've gotten away with it, and now it's like, well, what, you know, what can we do next in terms of like eating humans on camera?
It's such a Trojan horse. He does that first 30 minutes and then sneaks in that sick stuff. So I don't know. I don't want to, I'd love to work with him. I don't want to like burn bridges with him. So
I'd kill to be eaten on camera by Adam Sandler.
Oh, it would be an honor.
I would, if it's Buscemi eating me, I need my own trailer at least. But if it's Sandler, give me a day rate.
Kevin, do you want to just, did you find a monologue?
Yes, NBC removed it from their website, but I found someone, I believe, filming their television.
Okay, so that, you know, this must be a hot one.
This is third rail stuff, man, because if
possibly
they're
possibly talking
it down,
about like the war and stuff that they don't want.
They usually brag about
here.
Yeah. So let's see.
To be back here hosting Saturday Night Live.
Yeah. It's okay. Great to be back
so
here hosting.
So if you can talk like that.
Yeah.
And use your real voice the way he is. Yeah.
Yes.
All right. I'll just do it. Let me just do it in pieces. You play it and I'll get it back to you. Ready? Ready?
It is so great to be back here hosting Saturday Night Live.
It is so... Quiet, please. It is so great to be back here hosting Saturday Night Live. Okay.
Yo, this year has been so amazing. I've been lucky to be in some great movies.
Hold it. Thank you. Yo, this year has been so amazing. I'm so lucky to have been in some great movies.
This is great because you're just Gordon Levitt. You were born in Los Angeles. You've lived there for your entire life, but you have this
Brooklyn vibe.
This authentic Brooklyn kind of Don John. There's no other term for it. That's just become the term. It's this Don John accent.
He got into the part and never got out.
Movie Looper come out.
Oh yeah, my film. Yo, my film Looper's come out. Yo, go ahead.
I play a young version of Bruce Willis, so I guess I'm playing Ashton Kutcher.
Okay. I play a young version of... Take it again. I play a young version of Bruce Willis, so I guess I'm Ashton Kutcher.
So that's why, and now we know why that was pulled.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you don't fuck with Bruce like that. That
Bruce
sucks.
Got his thumb on the scale.
Because he's talking
here.
About cuck stuff.
Bruce has only got so much patience for that shit. I wouldn't be surprised if Bruce came and beat the shit out of Joseph Gordon-Levitt at some point shortly after this live appearance.
I was also in The Dark Knight Rises. But you know, But you know what my favorite superhero movie of the summer was? Magic Mike.
Boom.
Bang.
I was also in The Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah!
Yeah!
Oh, yes!
But you know what my favorite superhero movie of the summer was? Magic Mike.
Okay.
I'm serious. My friend Channing Tatum was so great in that. And you know what my favorite part of Magic Mike was? This part.
Oh, shit! Okay, I'm not doing that.
He took his shirt
listening.
Off and he does
well,
a
just
little
a radio. It's just a radio.
Just for, yeah, we could do it big. Yeah.
All right, fine. And no, my friend Taylor, what's his name? Taylor Higgs. What's his name?
Taylor Higgs. Yep.
Taylor Higgs.
He did such a great job. And you know what my favorite part of that movie was? Porno music.
And then we can just have the pixels.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. Move around in a suggestive way. You can do like a nipple really easily with just the pixels on that screen. And
can
we just
and
do
have,
like
yeah.
a couple nipples and they're
Sounds
just like
good.
Kind of bouncing around on
bow,
there.
Chicka bow bow. That kind of thing going on there.
Perfect.
That's great. That's perfect.
I have Shatner's ready if you want to hear that.
Okay.
Okay. Tim was kind of over it, but.
Oh, or, man.
We could stop too.
I remember that jacket.
No, it was just Tim. Tim was over it. He pretty clearly indicated he was over it, and actually, I agreed with him. But
is that like a hunting jacket that he's wearing? It's like a camouflage hunting jacket. He looks good, man. How old is he at this point right now? Can you tell?
This is 1986.
Okay, 1986. Mm-hmm. What year was he born? 1940, probably 1940 something.
Mm-hmm.
So what's
we're looking at a man who's.
I'm going to guess he's about 48 here.
Born in 31.
Oh, shit.
Oh, 55. My God. 55,
he's 55 yeah. here. Hey, okay. We've got some. Well, I've got some like good living to do for a while.
He's looking, very good, except his hands look awful.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the wig doesn't look like, it obviously is a wig, but.
And skin's falling off his face as well.
There's G.E. Smith back there. That's a good band. I mean, we talk about bands for a sec. Like when you're talking about bands, you know, E Street Band, mm-hmm. fucking Beatles, the band Dead, Grateful Dead people love. Jefferson Air, not Jeff, like you know the Stones, the Who. I'm going SNL G.E. Smith era. G.E.
Smith
86.
Era. That's my
G.
Halloween Smith costume. Era.
Man, that is such a good band. I wish I could have seen them live, like out of that studio, like on the road. They're killing it,
dude.
Killing it.
This was the time, man, when music was still damn music. It was none of this auto-tune crap.
You know what I don't know if you know about this, like in the 80s, when like probably this year, this era, the Carvey years, the E Street Band, I mean the G.E. Smith Band, would jam from like on a Saturday, on a show day. They'd get in there, they would jam, and like big time G.E. Smith freaks would know this, and they'd show up super early. And the band would start warming up, and they would play from like noon till 8, and then there would be the dress rehearsal and blah, blah. But then after the show, they played until sunrise. They would play all the way in through like breakfast after the show, and people would stick around and party, and it would turn into this fucking unbelievable session. And those guys, none of that, I mean, there's been a few like bootleg recordings of it, but some of that stuff, like that post-show G.E. Smith and the band jamming is some of the greatest music I've ever heard.
And blood would be shooting out of his saxophone because they'd play for so long.
They played so hard.
Would like explode.
They played in that crescendo, like you hear it here in the Shatner bit, that the whole like, like that was kind of like where they were. That was like the level they were at the whole
time. That's the pitch. Like, he would hold that note.
And he just like made this wall of sound. It's really unbelievable.
Yeah, he would hold that note for 4 or 5 hours.
It was when Lenny Pickett showed up that it was over for me. It's like, okay, now this show is more about.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's for teenage girls or whatever.
It's like about these like hot guys on stage. Yes.
It got really, really stiff really quick.
This guy who is more famous for like, now who's he dating this week? Oh, now he's dating Demi Lovato or whatever.
Right, right.
And it's like, what are you actually, what about what happens on the show? Why is it suddenly more about this guy's like private life?
Who's he dicking down, right? It's like, I'm sorry. I hate that stuff.
GE, which by the way, you know, is like the guy, you know, you're talking about GE at General Electric. Like, that's where we're talking about when we talk about GE, you know, GE light bulbs, GE Smith.
No, honestly, yes.
Came for money, didn't have to work a day in his life, but actually was the energy and was the life force of the show.
Kicked ass, it was like the greatest, most artistic flow of music. And then it just became really stiff, really lame, really fast when he left, and it sucks.
Commercial teeny bopper stuff.
Like when you get Michael McKean coming into that cast, you get Chris Elliott, you get Sarah Silverman, that era, that's when things got Mark McKinney. You notice that the music gets it gets really lame, really boring, really
extremely fast.
The air is out of the balloon, you know. Ugh. So Rudy Giuliani's pants tucking in technique, his shirt tucking style, that could be a Halloween costume.
Great. What about Borat? That would be funny to dress up.
Borat could be really funny.
Borat 2. Borat's old. So Borat 2 could be a funny one. If you do Borat 2, I like it. Mask as of underwears.
How about a... How about Jeffrey Toobin's penis? Now, that would be funny to see. Jeffrey Toobin's penis. Jeffrey Toobin's tube sock that he's masturbating into. Well, that would be something.
Okay, yeah. T-O-O-B sock,
one thing,
right?
I never hear, and we're talking about this, right? It's in all these stories. Did he finish? Do we ever hear this?
No, people are so uncomfortable around sex in this country.
You're telling me that no one even asked? None of these journalists even asked?
A European journalist, it would be the first question they ask. But in this country, we're so uptight.
So you were spanking the monkey. Have you finished? Did you finish? Was this
Is it a good wank?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that's how they'd handle it. That's exactly how they'd handle it.
Cheeseburger choice, go.
Cheeseburger choice.
Cheeseburger. Cheeseburger, I gotta go Shack Shake.
Shack Shake.
One of the classic, the long line. Almost better than the food.
So good. Smash burgers are the only way to go. I hate these people that are sort of like, oh, I want a big thick burger. No, you don't.
Get the
no.
fuck out of here.
You want it smashed.
Step on
just,
it.
I oughta.
Fuck you. Fuck yourself.
Piece of shit.
Yeah, big, fat, thick burger. What are you going to, fat burger? Fuck you.
Fuck you. I hope you fucking die.
Kill
I
you.
I mean, I like it all, though. I like Burger
kill
King.
Your
I like
ass.
I like all the food.
I like it, too. Yeah.
Whopper Jr.
Kind of a
great oxymoron. Isn't that one of was the great comic George Carlin?
Go ahead. Yes, yeah, the best.
He'd go,
yes. The best.
He'd go, okay, so
the
I walk,
modern
I,
man.
Yeah, I love that. He goes, I walk into a Burger King and they go, we got a new item here called the Whopper Jr. I go, huh?
Oh yes, no, he's the best.
And they're
yes.
like, oh, it's just a smaller yeah. version yeah. of the original yeah. Whopper, so that's why they call it a Junior. I'm like, what?
Then maybe don't call it a Whopper.
Yeah.
I mean, what the hell? And then they got jumbo shrimp. Jumbo shrimp? What? I love George Carlin. He goes, what?
I seen the inside of an outhouse. I seen the outside of a Days Inn.
Nobody parks in a parking lot, and they drive on a parkway. It's like, it is nuts when you think about it. He makes such a good point.
It's fucked up.
There's no difference between Democrats and Republicans. That's a great bit. There's no difference between a Republican and a Democrat. Mm-hmm. It's all about the money, he would say. It's all mm-hmm. about the money.
And like commercials, talking about like so many commercials.
Oh my God.
He's Have going we, don't, off.
What he, I love his bit. He goes, I used to memorize all this stuff. He goes, haven't we seen enough commercials?
And they killed him. They killed
they
him. They killed Bill Hicks.
Yeah.
One by one. They mm-hmm. killed all of them for thought crime. That's
and if I'm Dennis Leary, I'm looking over my fucking shoulder, yeah. brother.
Oh, he is a marked man.
Mm-hmm. Because he's being honest.
Don't stand
he's actually
too
being
close.
Honest.
That's all. Don't stand too close to mm-hmm. Dennis Leary.
Right, right. Because they have they might not make that perfect kill, but they mm-hmm. did with Lenny Bruce.
Yes.
That was some tainted junk, they say, mm-hmm. That he stuck up his arm. And same with Jimi Hendrix.
Hot shot, strict nine.
Jimi Hendrix mm-hmm. was on his way to, I don't mm-hmm. know if you guys know this, Jimi Hendrix was transitioning out of music and into stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
To like conscious comedy. Yeah.
You can hear it in his lyrics in the later songs as he started to sort of make these little observations about language.
Yeah, well, there's that great routine he does in What If Six Was Nine, mm-hmm. you know, whatever the rest is, like castles made of sand mm-hmm. Float mm-hmm. to the sea eventually. You know, it's all kind of observational, interesting stuff. But
well, Jim Varney took it and ran with it because Hey Joe became Hey Vern.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's like people don't talk about that.
And it's coming for Maisel, too. I mean, like, you can see just kind of in the background, Mrs. Maisel.
Dude, and, you'd like, be Mrs. Bullseye. She's got a fucking giant target on her ass.
Car-bomb.
They are going to, eliminate her.
What are they going to do with that show, though? Because at some point the show is going to catch up with the actual person, like the narrative, right? Like,
right.
So at some point they're going to have to like figure out how to do that. Like, are they going to actually tell the story beyond what's happening in real life? Like, I really even don't know.
Tim, I couldn't be less concerned. I trust them implicitly.
I get it. Yeah,
I understand you have a question. Literally, I trust that team with my life.
No, I know.
And if there's anyone who can handle it, it's them. So I honestly, I'm excited for when that challenge arises because I
know
it's
coming because like literally, I don't know what year it was, but like their next season is going to have to, I think, start overlapping with the real character's real life. So I don't know.
Yes. And they absolutely will tackle it with their trademark charm, grace, humor, and a lot of
heart. I'd like to know what Maisel thinks about the whole thing. You know, Miss Maisel, like what she thinks. And is that changing the way she behaves? Because it's going to affect the show. I don't know. I really don't know.
Yeah, and for the thousandth time, I actually hear your question. I understand it. It's not an issue of me being confused by it. What I'm telling you is, if you ask it again, I will end the show.
Okay, well, maybe that's a good idea.
Yeah, we have to do it anyway.
Yeah.
We got what we need, honestly, with the bumpers and stuff. So
I think we can.
Well,
clue me in when this deal comes together. I'd be, you know, it sounds like something I'm going to have to be pretty interested.
We're not going to know. We're not even going to know.
They're just giving the material. It'll just be happening.
They'll stitch it up.
Mm-hmm. So just listen to, in the car, I guess.
It'll be on, yeah.
Yeah.
Is it going to be anywhere near Raw Dog Comedy when I turn on my dial? Is it be that like area of the Sirius spectrum?
It'll be quite a bit higher, actually, Tim, in the dial. Yeah, it'll be a much larger number than Raw Dog Comedy. That's actually a really big channel for them.
Raw Dog is moving to one, channel one.
You start on Raw Dog, man. And if for some reason you ever need to switch it, you might find Tim XM.
Channel That's one awesome. Is like half Raw Dog and half like, here's how to use your radio.
Setup instructions, yeah.
And the album, there's an album as well, Tim?
Yes. There's always an album, Fear of Death, available everywhere now. Good at Sam Goody or Hollywood Video, or wherever you
music
get your
land.
Music.
Suncoast. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Suncoast has been CDs. Great.
Strawberries.
Suncoast has been great. Strawberries is not handling it this cycle, but
Suncoast
has been awesome.
One of the fruit
Coconuts
ones.
Has it. Coconuts has tape CDs. And they now are selling USB drives, too, with the record on it.
Mm. Okay. You put it in there. Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, I'm out.
Hollywood Handbook.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.